This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We've talked a little bit throughout the week about the possibility of Jackson Dart playing, and I remember on Monday, Sean got into like this big argument with Giant Beat reporters about Jackson Dart's media availability. And I guess the way things work, you certainly know better than I, Teak, is that backups aren't usually available after games, but on Thursdays or Fridays, like today, they do speak to the media.
Yeah, you can talk to whoever. I mean, the media can ask to talk to whoever, but usually backups aren't being asked to be talked to.
Right.
But this is a different level of backup.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it is interesting to hear from Jackson because so much talk is around, is he going to be inserted into this game? Mm-hmm. Were there packages for him in week one? What's he thinking? So it is interesting to hear from him. The Giants didn't make him available after the game on Sunday, but today he did speak to the media and he was asked about all the buzz around here that Jackson Dart, you Jackson Dart, may be inserted to play as soon as Sunday against Dallas.
I don't pay attention to that stuff. I think it's just kind of like the nature of the sport. Like, anytime that things, you don't win, people talk and things like that happen. It's completely different when you win. So you got to take all that with a grain of salt. My job is to control what I can control, be the best teammate that I can be. Do my job, in practices and in preparing our guys, whether it's, me on the look team and then, just prepare as hard as I can.
Good answer, right?
Yeah, very good answer.
Yeah.
He can't control any of that, so why comment on it?
That's right.
It has nothing to do with him.
Absolutely. Not his decision.
Nope.
He was also asked, so you having fun being a backup? How's that feeling right now, Jackson?
I have a feeling of what I'm used to, but I'm just trying to shift my perspective. I mean, I feel like I've said this, as a competitor, it's not like I don't have a blast, watching from the sideline. But it's just the way that it is. So, my job is just to do what I can control. And, when I'm sitting there, I'm itching, you just want to compete. You want to be out there. In some ways, you kind of feel like a fan a little bit when you're on the sideline. So it's a little bit different of a feeling than what I'm used to, but I'm just trying to shift my perspective.
Oh, he's itching, Teak. Mm. You hear that answer?
Of course he is.
He's itching.
He doesn't want to play. It's the hardest thing about being in football, a backup, is somebody else is doing your job. And the only way you're getting there is to you to get opportunity and take advantage of it. I hear it.
I don't know if they showed this on TV as much. I don't know what that perspective was, but he threw more passes than Russell Wilson on Sunday. There was no sitting down. There was no ruling on. He threw, and I'm not exaggerating, 180 passes to Jalen Hyatt during that game on Sunday.
Oh, on the sideline?
He did not sit down once. He kept throwing a football for three straight hours.
He was ready to go.
What's got to be sort of weird for him.
That's funny.
Is that when in his football playing life has he been a backup?
Well, he hasn't. That's what he said.
Exactly.
He's always won the job.
So he's never experienced what he's now experiencing.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If you were just evaluating play from the preseason, and it's not fair to Russ because he only played a couple series in each of the first two games and didn't do anything in the third game. If you were evaluating fairly, who had the better preseason game-wise? It was Jackson Dart.
Yeah, it's just I can't eliminate those other things like competition.
Of course you can. Of course you can. But if it was an actual competition,
yeah.
Which, by the way, it was not.
Right.
It was never communicated to anyone, including, I'm sure, the two quarterbacks, that this was a competition for the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course he's going to accept his role. But if he had to beat out Russ, I'm sure he would have.
I'm sure he would have.
Absolutely.
If they were given, like, the same opportunity.
If they were put on the same level.
Okay, so, like, both playing with starters, both playing first time,
team reps.
First team reps.
Right.
Playing first team defenses. Yep. You're telling me you think Jackson would have
played?
Why?
I do.
Because Russ is cooked, right?
It's just Russ is, he's limited in what he can do now.
No, I get you.
It's just, and that's not knocking Russ. It's just the reality of Russ. And so Jackson Dart is young. He doesn't know what he doesn't know, which is good and bad. And I don't know, he's willing to take the risk that I think this offense craves.
So, simple question that we always get to in football, who gives us the best chance to win?
Mm-hmm.
Forget their status in the league.
Yeah.
Forget protecting a young player. Forget all of that. Just flat out, I got to beat the Cowboys on Sunday. Who gives the Giants the best chance to win a quarterback?
Right now, it's Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah.
Despite what you just said, though.
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know what Jackson Dart's going to be. I don't think Jackson Dart was given the chance that I was just talking about. Like, don't hear me saying Jackson Dart and Russell Wilson competed for the starting job. Jackson was better, but they gave it to Russ because it wasn't a competition.
If they were given that opportunity.
Yes, they weren't. It wasn't a level playing field. And it, by the way, it didn't need to be because that's not what the whole situation was crafted to be. Jackson Dart was being drafted as a 25th pick. You traded up. You traded a third-round pick and something else. Next year's second or whatever the heck it was. I don't even remember. To get back into the first round, Jackson Dart was going to learn behind a veteran. So whether that was Jameis Winston, who they signed first, or it was Russell Wilson, who they signed second, he was never going to play this season.
It is going to be very interesting in the first half of this game. The Cowboys are ravaged by injuries at corner.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very interesting to see if this Giant offense, which did not look functional or good at all week one, if they're going to take advantage of the Cowboys' shorthandedness and if they're actually going to look like the offense that we thought they could be.
Well, I think this is my opinion. This is not what Dave's is going to do or what I hear they're going to do. This is just my opinion. When you have a team that has struggled as much as the Giants have, I think the best thing you can do is throw caution to the wind. Open wide open, right? Force space, force defenders to have to make plays and put the ball in the hands of your veteran quarterback and trust that he's going to make the good decisions. Because Russ does not make bad decisions most times. He doesn't ever have double digit, maybe a couple of years he did in his 14-year career, had double digit interceptions. He's not going to put the ball in harm's way. So give him a chance to put the ball in his players' hands. And you're not doing that by playing tight formations, 12 personnel. Let's just establish the run. Let's get 3 yards early. You know, let's get this thing moved. You can't play that way. It's not modern football, and I don't think it's a service to Russell Wilson.
Now, do you think that Brian Daboll will come out with
the opposite last week didn't work?
No, it didn't.
I'm going to say I have no idea, but I hope so.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Our good buddy Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Art?
Hey, what's going on, bud? You know, last week, hey, Peek.
What's up, dude?
Last week I called on Mindy making some move. And if this dude, after Garrett stunk up the joint, was hurt, and he thinks that was his best option. Listen, you either go to Peterson in the sixth, or this is the formula. You go Rodgers. You go Rayley, and you go Diaz for two. You know, maybe a month ago, I called and said, what the heck are you pitching Diaz for two innings? And he was desperate. If he wasn't desperate, yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Today, if you didn't see that that was the way to go. Listen, if I go down with Diaz or Dale or whatever, I don't say nothing. You put in this guy Garrett. What are you, even Spadic put him in there. But you're going with a guy that just came out of the hospital and to lose now with that guy. Come on. All right, thanks, guys.
Go Jets.
Go Jets.
Go, well, before the Go Jets. All right, guys. He's fired up.
Yeah, he's the best. See, I like Artie, though, because he comes down really quickly.
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to get up, but all right, cool. Talk to you guys later.
And remember, Artie, big Jet fan, is going to Miami.
Yes.
The Jets-Dolphins in a couple of weeks.
Qué bonito, Miami.
Welcome to Miami. I agree with him in terms of desperation. We have now entered Edwin Diaz desperation mode.
Yeah.
And I know he pitched last night, but that's because he needed to get into a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think when you look at this bullpen and you say, all right, who do I trust? You trust Edwin Diaz. Despite him not being as good as we thought, I think Tyler Rogers has certainly more trust than most other guys.
I don't mind him. At least he's a very different look than what you're used to as a hitter to see.
He also hasn't been bad. He just hasn't been great. And I think the other guy, despite his issues last night, really it was the walk to Schwarber and the infield hit against Bryce, is Brooks Raley.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I mean, you look at Gregory Soto and Reed Garrett and Ryan Stanek and certainly Ryan Helsley, it's like flipping a coin. You have no idea. But I think what's also going to be interesting tonight is Jonah Tong.
Mm.
Jonah Tong has only made two major league starts, one of which was almost impossible to really read because he was given a 12-0 lead 30 seconds in.
Yeah.
And the other one is last start against Cincinnati last weekend. The only base runners either came on walks or home runs. It was a very odd start. But they need six innings out of their starters basically because of what he said about the bullpen.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of guys you can trust. So how hard does Carlos Mendoza push Jonah Tong? Last night, I thought he was right to take David Peterson out. I mean, quite frankly, he was done.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was easy in my mind, but maybe things get a little bit more challenging with Tong, McClain, and Sproat over the weekend. Steve is in Harlem. What's up, Steve?
Wee-oo.
What up?
First of all, just so you guys are aware, anytime I say something on the air, it's going to be correct. So I'm sorry you don't remember, Sean, but you definitely did forget IKF played center field for a second there. So not going to hold it against you, though. It was just a warning. But I did a deep dive here because it really did bother me, the Blue Jays comment on Wednesday. I understand the Blue Jays have a batting average that's about 20 or 0.20 percentage points higher.
The Blue Jays announcer, Buck Martinez.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, yes. And so essentially, my first thought was, why are we talking like batting average? We should be talking on base percentage. Didn't Billy Bean already prove that? So I started looking at on-base percentage. And then my second thought was, wait, didn't Oswaldo Peraza have 2 months on this team that probably drove down the numbers? Like, what is the team looking like right now, and what is their on-base percentage as a Yankee? So then I took what a lineup would look like. I'll be honest here. I took Volpe out because just the day he was in the lineup, I had Cabby in. And I did their on-base percentages, and I weighted it just one ninth. And our on-base percentage is right there with the Blue Jays, probably 1 or 2 percentage points higher, actually. So it's just really annoying to me that people take these small things with the Yankees on bad days and then just blow it up out of proportion. I understand that there's a lot of days where it feels feast or famine, but this year's just been so different from last year. I know it's hard saying that coming off those first two games against the Tigers, but the biggest fear people should have when I was going through these numbers were, oh my goodness, Judge had a 400 batting average in 2.5 months and then probably like a 220 batting average in the other 2 months. So that is really the discrepancy I would be focusing on, right, especially if I was other teams. So what that means for Judge is he really has to learn how to, one, take the walks when they're not pitching to him, but as that's happening, kind of be like Stanton, be ready for that exact moment. And I think we're here, we're there, and we're about to beat up on these Blue Jays in the playoffs.
I like your thought process, Steve. The other thing to not forget, because it feels like the Yankees are struggling. But when you look out, or look back, I should say, 30 or so games, they've one of the best records in baseball.
Yes, the people who are Yankee fans who self-hate themselves will tell you it's because they beat up on a lot of bad teams.
Okay, whatever.
I agree, it shouldn't matter.
It's who's on your schedule.
I agree with you.
And all that matters is that you get yourself in position to make the postseason and then do something in the postseason.
Now, in fairness, first of all, I know I could tell with Sean, he does not like Stephen Harlan, who just called up. I could tell. As soon as he does his dee-doo-dee-doo and then makes a point that usually involves taking a shot at you, you don't like him. So before you say anything, let me tell you, I think Stephen Harlan is a top five caller at Evident.
He does his research.
He's smart.
Right.
He gets in the weeds.
He gets in the details.
He's got like a mix of entertainment and information. And so anything you want to say about him, you can say it.
Steve does. You think he's retired early? I think he made a killing and he just kind of goes in these rabbit holes all day.
No, I think he has a desk job where he can be distracted for 2 hours.
Okay, I was just trying to say he's multimillionaire.
You have the wrong read on me. Because I actually do think he has really informative, smart calls.
Dude, every time he calls in, and I'll describe it to the audience because you can't see it, Sean rolls his eyes.
Okay.
As soon as he starts talking.
Hold on, because there's a difference. My brain clicks in four different ways. There's on the show brain. There's I'm a lifelong WFAN listener brain. Mm-hmm. There's caller brain, all this other stuff. I've lived a lot of sports radio lives. I think his wee-woo shtick sucks.
Oh, you don't like that part.
Okay. And I think when he starts it with that, you're already losing me. Dude, you're a good caller. You got good points. I think, and look, you'd give this advice to a lot of radio talents. I'd give this advice to a caller. Lose the shtick. You don't need the shtick.
Tiki, do you agree with his assessment?
No, it kind of identifies who he is.
I agree.
Okay, but all right, I'll give you another.
You just want a different. You'd hate the Wii U.
I do. So perfect example.
You think it's a policeman in your rearview window.
What?
And you did something wrong. and the policeman, Sergeant Steve, is coming for your ass.
Yeah.
And you just can't handle it.
I guess.
That's what that is. You get nervous because you're like, oh, crap, he's coming after me.
Maybe. I just know.
And hold the thought, Sean. He does come after him, which is the real reason Sean doesn't like him. He takes shots at him all the time.
If you know anything about me, I'm fine with taking shots. I think Ozzy's shtick a lot of times sucks, and I love Ozzy. Sometimes it just fails. A guy like Kendrick and Suffren, you want to talk about good callers? I think that's a great caller. His whole rhetoric, he doesn't need, it's not like he comes out with cheerleaders and pom-poms before he gets to, you know, his take and his point. Mm-hmm. I just think you need to cut the siren, get to the point. You're a good informative caller. Lose the shtick. That's my opinion.
So my advice to him is do the shtick even more. Do the Wii U even longer.
Double down.
Now, he mentioned Buck Martinez's comments. Buck was kind enough to join the show and take all the shrapnel and criticism from Yankee fans. Here's what Buck said. It was him reacting during the Blue Jay game to the Yankees having that horrible seventh inning from earlier this week.
The Yankees, they're not a good team. I don't care what their record is. They have a lot of wild pitches. They make a lot of mistakes in the field. They don't run the bases very well. If they don't hit home runs, they don't have a chance to win.
I mean, a lot of what he says is true. They do throw a lot of wild pitches, third most in baseball.
Yeah, Cam Schlittler had one last night.
That's right. Their defense is not great.
But then he struck out the next batter, so it was all good.
It was all good. Look, Schlittler pitched well.
Got at it with the bases loaded.
But his criticisms were all fair. The problem was he went too far by saying they're not a good team.
They are a good team.
Of course.
Because when you hit four home runs, or were three home runs last night, Judge hit two and then Stanton, you're going to win some of those games, especially if there's guys on base.
Here is how simple this has now become in my mind about the Yankees. Because I have more confidence in the Yankees than most of their fans. I think they're the best team in the American League. I think that you can tell me what's happened in the regular season. I get it. I respect it. It matters, but it doesn't matter. I think the Yankees are better. But it is so obvious what I'm about to say. So I apologize for anyone who's like, come on, Evan, that's so obvious. This slugger, this superstar, this first ballot Hall of Famer, Aaron Judge, needs to come up big in the postseason.
Yeah, you're stating the obvious again.
But because it's so obvious, it's frustrating.
Don't you think he knows that?
He knows it. You know it. We all know it. That's what has to happen. And right. I think that's where the level of worry comes from, because he hasn't. So, you know what has to happen.
What's that?
You know what has to happen.
I do not. I'm waiting for you to tell me.
After last night, and the handshake, and the two home runs, and the comments of, you're so big, because I analyzed the President Trump Yankee Clubhouse video 10 times over. The president's got to come back for Yankee playoff games. That's all I can think of.
Good luck getting into the stadium.
We will not be doing our show until 7.
Yeah.
At least not from Yankee Stadium. If that is the case, I will be sitting my ass right here.
I know that some may take offense to this on both sides, but I'll say it anyway. He's Grimace.
Mm.
He's the Yankees Grimace. Mm.
It's no secret, man. Judge Homer twice after the handshake. I think the next step, possibly, if we're going to do the Grimace thing, orange seat inside the judge's chambers.
I love the Yankees.
Now, speaking of the president's visit, I mentioned I analyzed him meeting with the Yankees like 15 times over. I need to play something, and it's very tough to hear, so I warn you, if you're in your car, maybe pump up the audio a little bit. So the president was meeting with the Yankees. By the way, he reminds me of Francesa on so many levels. Like, they're basically the same guy.
That's funny.
So he goes around, he does his shtick, he's now shaking everybody's hand. I'm going to shake everybody's hand. And by the way, you could tell which Yankee players and coaches love him and are like, yeah, it's the president, I guess I'll shake his hand. Like, it's obvious. Like, Brad Ausmus was ready to quit and work for his administration. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. But I had audio that I pulled on my phone and I analyzed it 15 times over of when he got to Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could hear in his interaction with Volpe, and you could listen very carefully and you'll hear it, is Anthony Volpe say the word horrible.
Mm.
And I can't figure out what he was saying to the president was horrible. So I'm going to play it for you. It's tough to hear, but you're going to hear a little bit of the president and a little bit of Volpe. Volpe has a very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
So take a listen, and maybe we can all figure it out together. Are you ready? Are you ready? He says horrible, laughs, and the president says, nice to see you.
Yes.
Was Anthony Volpe talking about policy?
No. Maybe he was talking about his shoulder.
You think he was talking about his shoulder?
Even though Trump patted him on it twice. I'm like, stay away from the shoulder.
Holy crap, you're right, he did.
He did. But I don't think he was talking about that.
What do you think he was talking about?
In fact,
Sean, you know what he's talking about?
Sean smarted me up on it.
Yeah, I know it made the rounds. And credit to a new partner of ours, John Boy, who pointed this out.
John Boy figured this out?
Yes, John Boy will be on air on WFAN on Saturdays.
So. Yes. Talking Yankees will be right here on WFAN, a very exciting partnership between John Boy Media and WFAN. Congrats to everybody. So tomorrow, 2 o'clock, right here on the fan, boom. So he figured this out?
Figured it out. And
I'm so
it
excited to find out. Can I guess a couple of things?
Sure.
Foreign policy.
No.
He's not old enough to know have an opinion on foreign policy.
I had opinions when I was 12.
Okay, but you're an uber nerd, and you know the president's maiden names of wives' maiden names.
Hold on. Did President Trump ask him Volpe's opinion on some potential Democratic candidates in 2028?
Uh-huh.
And he said horrible. Was it that?
It was not.
Was it the New York City mayoral race?
It was not.
Was it? Damn it. All right, fine. Just tell me.
He was asked his thoughts on the Giants' offensive line.
No, it wasn't.
No, he simply asked Anthony Volpe, how's your golf game?
So Volpe said horrible?
Volpe said horrible. Now, I take that as a shot. Anthony Volpe's going to be playing golf that soon?
Well, I mean, he should have answered, you see me swing, right?
That would have been a very witty answer.
I would have been.
I'm very disappointed. That is so boring. Now, I get that maybe to a lot of people.
But that's what he talks about all the time.
Who?
Trump.
About golf?
Yes.
I thought he's a baseball fan.
No, he's a golfer.
Ugh. You don't remember him in Biden's debate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he played right. golf better than you.
Right.
Dude.
He played golf with Jalen Hurts recently? No. Jalen couldn't
Saquon.
Play. Saquon played with him. That was last year, though.
I'll tell you, these presidents, all of them, started with Ike. Ike was the worst with this. And I love Ike. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we all love Ike. But all Ike would do is play golf. Like, he was obsessed with it. He actually was the first president to really face the criticism on you play too much golf.
But isn't it a good way to blow off steam?
Nah, it's fine. I'm not, whatever. It's just, I'm disappointed. I thought it was something more interesting. I thought Volpe was opining about something. I thought, you know, if it was his shoulder, that would have been hilarious.
You know
it's
what?
Awful.
Now there's conflicting reports. I think President Trump asked Anthony Volpe your thoughts on Aaron Boone throwing you into the bus pregame yesterday.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you for letting me know, because I was sort of obsessed with that all night last night. But yeah, I mean, I think right now the president's got to become the Yankees.
Yankees grimace.
Yankees grimace. You agree with that?
Let me tell you something right now. I do. I tweeted this last night.
You did?
I did.
I missed that.
And I think it was the first time anybody's tweeted anything about Trump, and it wasn't all just negativity. If they sweep the Red Sox this weekend, doing something we haven't seen them basically do all year, and this comes at the heels of last night, he's Grimace. He might be Grimace and Hawk, too, all rolled into one.
Now, will it work if he's not there? Like, do they put like weird Trump toy up? Will that work, or does it have to be him?
It's not like Grimace kept showing up to Met games. People just took on the role of Grimace. Grimace threw out that first pitch, and then the run happened.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I don't think you need him at the stadium. I just think it jumpstarts something. He could be Grimace.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much for telling me that Anthony Volpe thinks his golf game is horrible. My God. So disappointing. That's so boring. Let's go to Andre in Connecticut. What's up, Andre?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
First off, I'm driving down to... driving down to State Field to watch them win, beat DeGrom.
Yeah.
Joe DeGrom, he didn't want to play here, but I got my two young kids in the car with me. And to my negative point, Mendoza. Can anybody give me an actual event this year where he might have pinch hit for somebody or did something positive with this lineup? Every time somebody goes on a hitting streak, oh, it's lefty-righty matchup. Let me take this guy out. He's been killing these batters. Anytime they get hot, they come out of the lineup. Not the core four, but everybody else. So yeah. Stick to a lineup and let's roll with it.
I think what really concerned me over the last few days, I know they faced three straight lefties, but ice colding Brett Beatty the last couple of days to me was stupid. He's hit lefties over the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Not having him in the lineup and having a far inferior hitter this year in Luis Angel Acuna did not make sense.
And there's nothing wrong with him, correct?
With who?
With Beatty.
No.
This is just a manager's decision.
It was we're playing the matchups decision.
Yeah.
And I thought it was foolish. But I think what also hurts right now is that the Mets are setting him up that no matter what move he makes, it doesn't work because the Mets aren't performing. And it's incredibly frustrating, but it's really true. I am looking at the Met lineup right now, and I will let you know if I'm angry or not. Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Told you, he's never going to hit Soto leadoff, even though he should. Lindor, Soto, Alonso,
yeah,
Nimmo.
15 more years.
Yeah.
14 more years.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 more years.
Maybe. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Vientos at DH, McNeil, Beatty, Alvarez, go. Cedric Mullins.
There you go.
So Cedric Mullins has returned to the lineup playing center field.
What happens when you misplay a ball in center?
Well, kind of.
Sorry, McNeil.
I mean, kind of. Like, Jeff McNeil, and I rip him for misplaying it, but he's also not playing a natural position, and you almost knew that eventually something like this would happen. So I get the inclination the next day to say, you know what, let me actually put a real center fielder out there. Now, it'd be nice if Cedric Mullins can get a couple of hits. He finally broke his ofer, but he did it at the end of the game that we're getting blown out in a few nights ago. But that's the Met lineup as they take on old friend Jacob DeGrom. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. We will make our picks in about an hour. Our thoughts on the Jet game, the Giant game, and around the league. Here's my kind of thinking around this Buffalo game for the New York Jets. The Jets' success against Josh Allen, which is undeniable in terms of, not that they've beaten him a lot, but Josh Allen has not played as effectively against the Jets as he has against everybody else. But it's more specific than that. It's at MetLife Stadium. It's been in Buffalo, more times than not, the Jets have gotten destroyed. But at MetLife Stadium, the Jets have either beaten him, like we saw a couple of years ago during the season opener, the Aaron Rodgers Achilles game, or they've been in the game and lost close, and they have forced Allen to turn the ball over. He's turned the ball over more than he's thrown touchdown passes in his career at MetLife Stadium. Why is that the case?
Well, I speculated on it a year ago when somehow, they lose Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson wins the game. And in that game, I think Josh Allen put the ball in harm's way at least 6 times.
Yes.
And there were 2 interceptions, I believe, and they were the worst throws he probably made all season long. And my thought then, and I probably still believe this to an extent, I guess we'll find out on Sunday, is that he feels like no matter what I do, I can beat the Jets. Even if it's an ill-advised throw, my guy's going to go make a play, and I'm going to make the throw. And so he throws these balls up when he's under duress and just come down with it. Now, in some ways, you don't mind it because it's kind of like an arm punt.
Right. You know, some of them can be, yes.
But when you lose the game and that's a possession that you gave away, then it does matter. And so I think in a lot of ways, Josh Allen just feels like I've owned the Jets. I can get away with making mistakes, one or two mistakes. It only doesn't matter when you lose the game like you did 2 years ago.
Right. Now, sometimes they've gotten away with it, but yeah. I also am fearful that, you know, Robert Saleh, we've killed the dead guy a lot, which is unfair, but Robert Saleh was not a successful coach here.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain things he did well. I mean, he coached well against Josh Allen-led offenses.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder, especially since our first taste of the Aaron Glenn, Steve Wilks defense was not very good, if I could just expect blindly the same kind of results as we've seen the last few years in these Josh Allen versus the Jets at MetLife Stadium games. I mean, number one, we already see the change with Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis. Oh, yeah. My God.
Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner. I apologize because I love Darrell and yeah. Sauce ain't Darrell.
Wow.
But I guess it's the, wow, is that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, well, it's just putting him in that category.
It would be like if you were talking about Abdul Carter and you just accidentally called him Lawrence Taylor.
Which we never would do.
So what are you accusing me of?
I don't know what I'm accusing you of, but Abdul Carter could be great. He could be an all-pro this year, and I'm not saying LT.
Well,
accidentally.
Okay. I apologize. I didn't mean to say it. I guess he's on my mind.
It means you've been thinking about him compared to Darrell Revis a lot. And I think last week's great performance has you having Revis dreams.
Well, what I've been thinking about was, and I remember bringing this up to you a year ago, I said, hey, what frustrates me with Coach Saleh is that they don't have Sauce travel.
Yes, but you know what?
And now he's
shouldn't
traveling.
Frustrate you with cool. Coach Saleh not traveling Sauce Gardner. This is obviously after the fact. Is that it allowed you to play sounder defense?
Well, certainly based on 1 week, the answer mm-hmm. is correct because yeah. the rest of the Jets secondary, led by Brandon Stevens, who was absolutely awful, needs to be better. And I don't think Sauce needs to travel in this game because there isn't that one guy in the Buffalo offense that you need to shut down.
By the way, I don't think that he would, even if Keon Coleman was your biggest threat for the Buffalo Bills pertaining to the Jets defense and you wanted to travel Sauce. He's got a groin injury right now.
Mm.
And so what a groin injuries. Every player goes through training camp. You get a little nick or something just feels tight here or there. Then you go finally play a game, and you're playing it at an intensity that you just haven't done. And so you end up like straining a groin or maybe even a hamstring or something. It's normal, but I hope that he plays through it because without him, I feel that they lose any kind of playmaking ability.
Oh my God.
In their secondary.
Oh, it's scary to think about this secondary without Sauce.
Yes.
And look, it's not fair to kill someone or put someone in the Hall of Fame after one game.
Yep.
Say the same thing about Justin Fields. He has a lot to prove in this game against Buffalo. What we saw last week, is it a sign of things to come?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a fluke? And I think to be fair, we could say the same thing about the Jet defense because they didn't do a good enough job. Especially the safeties. I mean, Tony Adams was terrible. At corner, Brandon Stevens was given all this bag of monies from Darren Mugi. Like, he had a terrible debut. They picked on him in this game.
Yeah.
So, as a whole, the secondary needs to be better. And they're going to be challenged by, with all due respect, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, a much better offense.
No, yeah, you're right. Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf. Like, there's talent on the Steelers. You could see it. While they held him in some capacities, there were just too many big plays.
Well, you know what else scares me, though? And this is what the Steelers didn't have as a threat that Buffalo does, and that's the legs of Josh Allen.
No doubt.
Because how many times are we going to see, like, write it down, third and long, they're chasing Josh Allen around, we're screaming, get him, Quincy, and he breaks one off for 17 yards.
Right, and James Cook is better than Jaylen Warren. So it's just, you're right, the skill position players are a lot more scary for the Buffalo Bills. By the way, you guys can watch this game. You can stream it and all your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with our juicy week 2 matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, starting at just $30 a month for your first year. That's only $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. That's $30 for the year, not $30 a month. $30 for the year.
Damn.
$250 a month. ParamountPlus.com/NFL.
Gene is in West Orange. Good afternoon, Gene.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm a broken Jet fan. I got sucked back in a little bit last week, and they lost the game again. How can there be any excitement going into this week? I don't see how they do anything good against the Bills. The Bills now have tape on the Jets. It's just going to be tough, and what do we have to look forward to the rest of this game and the rest of the season?
I will read to you Josh Allen's career numbers against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. A passer rating of 83.9, six touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Sounds 8 interceptions. Now, it's a different defensive coordinator. It's a different head coach. The results may be different, but I give you those stats because Gene said what is there to be hopeful about or excited about. My hope, and I'll get to the offense in a second, but starting with this defense, is that what we saw last week against Pittsburgh is not who they truly are. Because if it is, you could hype up the O-line as much as you want, Teak. If that's the Jet defense, it's going to be a long year.
No, you're right.
So they've got to be better. And I still expect that they are better. Not that they're going to shut the Bills down, but they've got to give you a bounce-back performance than what we saw in week one.
Yeah, and that's not to knock the entire defense. It's the first outing. Again, first game, just like with the Giants. It was the first game, just like with the Baltimore Ravens. It's the first game. But there were some pieces you can think about and grow off of. Will McDonald obviously being one, Sauce being another. Like there was some Quincy, despite the one of the mistakes. There's things that you can look at and grow from. But as a unit, there was an expectation over the last 3 or 4 years that this Jet unit was going to be one of the best in the NFL. And you didn't see that by giving up 34 points ultimately, including a last-second drive that set up the 60-plus-yard field goal that ended up losing you the game. So there is growth, but there's also some good pieces there.
Now the question is, with this offense, how much of last week was real too? Because on the other side, we're hoping that, wow, could this be a strength of the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be, mainly because it was led by the run game. It wasn't as if Justin Fields just surprised the Pittsburgh Steelers and was throwing the ball over the gridiron and, you know, quick passes and comebacks, balls out quick. It wasn't any of it. It was, we're going to run the ball down your throat. You know we're doing it, because don't forget, Mike Tomlin said, well, they said they're going to run the ball, so we'll be ready for them running the ball. The first play of the game was a 16-yard run. So like, that could be and probably will be the basis of what their offense is going to do this year.
I'm curious how much you can read me right now. Do you think I think the Jets are going to win this game or even cover the number? What's your vibe for me?
Yes.
You think I'm confident? You think I'm a confident Jet fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how I know that?
Yeah.
Because I'm 5-1 on the season after last night.
Yeah.
You're kind of right in line with me.
Yeah, I'm 3-3. I'm average.
Yeah, you're average, but you were on with me last night.
I was with you last night on the pack, yes.
I'm going Jets to cover the number.
Oh, wow. We're giving you spoilers about 45 minutes before picks. I'm not going to tell you, but I'm curious. So your vibe is I am pro-Jet confidence this week.
Yes.
Do you get that vibe, Sean?
I get that vibe, which makes me think the other way. I think you swerve come pick time.
Interesting. By the way, I am set on how I feel about this game. Set. So nothing you guys are going to say is going to change that. Tommy?
I think you're going to pick the Jets to cover, but lose a heartbreaker.
Gotcha. You want me to spoil it for you? I'll tell you right now.
No. Tiki's already given away his pick. We got to save something here.
All right. Well, we'll make our NFL picks in about 45 minutes right at 5:30.
Yeah, well, the locals are done for me. I don't do the Giants.
This is a big week for our next caller. He's a big Cowboy fan. Ozzie in Woodridge. How you feeling, Ozzie?
You got all the pressure in the world, Ozzie. All the pressure in the world.
The only thing I'll say is, it's like picking between two three-legged dogs, and the only advantage I got is that it's in Dallas. So it'll be like 9-7.
Imagine that.
Well,
that would be gross.
If he, yeah. If CD learns how to catch, maybe 13-7. But other than that, I'm living a dual waking nightmare that could become like the trifecta on Sunday. You know, this is sports nightmares. Speaking of which, Evan, any updates on the Recco dreams you've been having since the Hershey Park one that you told us about?
I had this weird dream that Jerry Recco is going to do a game with Tiki Barber on the radio. Mm. That was a weird one.
Yeah.
Is there truth to that?
Yeah.
Wow. So that was a real dream.
That was a real dream.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've been dreaming about Recco a lot lately, but luckily in the last few days, it's been cut off a little bit. My dreams have gone elsewhere.
The one that you two went to the Hershey Park, did you two take the Hershey Highway to get there?
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
Don't even respond.
All right, I'm not going to respond. I'm just going to say anything else, Ozzie.
No, I was just seeing Parsons in a Packer uniform actually on TV last night. Nightmare number one. And then imagine what the Yankee fans are going to give us if the Mets don't make the playoffs.
Oh.
With Soto in year one,
But you know what, Oz? Mm. And when I say we, I don't necessarily mean all of us, but we do deserve it. Like, there was such excitement after the Soto signing and an assumption of success that if the Mets miss the playoffs, and it doesn't matter how Soto plays, like he could hit 1,000 over the next few weeks. If they miss the playoffs, I get and understand why the Yankee fan is going to go to town on the Mets fan.
You know, this reminds me of something. You would agree most Met fans are Jet fans?
Oh, yes.
So the mentality is the same. You get Aaron Rodgers, you're winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You get Juan Soto, you're winning the World Series. You can't jump to the conclusion.
You can't. And it reminds me of something I say.
And it's nothing he's done. It's not like Aaron Rodgers.
No,
it's completely different.
No, I agree. It's not him. It reminds me of something I said late last year when the Mets eventually succumbed to the L.A. Dodgers. And I've said this about the Knicks, too, so this is not unique to the Mets. I said they have to win it now because you don't know if you'll ever be back, and we make these assumptions. And I remember Tommy, of course, was like, well, but Steve Cohen, all this money, blah, 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 you know they'll be back. And I said, no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that Steve will try to win. I know that they'll have a good offseason, but baseball's a weird game. And I think it's clear what I've been saying. You don't know if you're going to be back.
That's true.
And the fact that they may miss the playoffs proves my point.
I think more of your point was that it's rare that you get the combination of the good vibes, everything they had going on last year, that magical ride.
Yeah, that's a part of it, too. That's all of it.
But I think they're going to be there every year.
Beware every year.
In the postseason.
In this conversation.
Of course.
In the postseason conversation. They're not. What he's saying is you're not going to be 60-102.
I know, but
you
that's
know what I mean?
Not.
You're not going to be terrible.
But that's also moving the goalpost. That's not what I said either. What I said is, you may make it every year, but sometimes it takes that right to go on a run. I mean, the Phillies are there every year, and they haven't gotten back to where they were back in 2022. And so even if the Mets sneak in, are they getting back to the NLCS? I hope they do. Mm. Then I would have been wrong and said, wow, they got back there. But that's the point. When you get that close, you don't know. And I want to bring it back to the Knicks for a quick second, because I love that they signed Malcolm Brogdon. I think it's a low-risk move. It's a guy I suggested, I don't know if you remember this, 2 years ago at the trade deadline.
Wahoo wah. I love it.
That's right. So, good move by the New York Knicks. Good move bringing Landry Shamet back. And I've said this before, briefly on air, sometimes off air. I've been studying the rosters of these Eastern Conference teams. The Knicks are the team to beat. I don't think it's even close.
Right.
Like, this is a year in which they have to go to an NBA Finals. And even though I know that and I say that, I would still warn Knicks fans the same thing I warned Met fans, which is, you don't know if you're ever going to get back, because sometimes it's an injury. Sometimes it's something unforeseen that completely derails you. Now, what's derailed the Mets is just in a play. Mm-hmm. It's not a specific injury. It's just they're not nearly as good as we thought. And I want this to be a reminder. And I'm not saying this to say, oh, see, I'm right. It's a reminder that when you get close, cherish it and take advantage of it, because there's no guarantee you're going to come back. Let me bring the Giants in. I want everyone involved. You guys made the playoffs in the first year of Brian Daboll. And when you got smacked by the Eagles, I'm sure you said, you know what, guys? It was a wonderful year. We're moving in the right direction. We'll be back. You haven't even been competent since.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't know. You don't know. And so I'm afraid that the 2024 Mets may go down in history, not as this fun-loving team that got to the LCS, but as a missed opportunity. It was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they blew it. Same thing with the Yankees in the World Series. Yeah, I know Sean clearly agrees with me on this because you're going to believe it.
Especially because it was a team that was flawed, meaning the Dodgers. They were flawed.
Yeah.
They were starting. They had starters every couple of outings.
They used openers, yeah.
Right.
You got to take advantage of the opportunities when they're right in front of you.
And we could tell Revis is still on Evan's mind because he didn't say derailed. He said derailed.
Why do you think I'm so obsessed with Darrell Revis right now?
You tell us. You dreaming about him? Are him and Recco together in dreams? What's going on?
I think I know why.
Why?
Darrell Revis has always reminded me of somebody, and someone has reminded me of Darrell Revis.
Who's that?
Jacob DeGrom.
Mm.
Spot the lie. For a period of time, you can't argue it, no one was better.
You want to just leave and go to the game now?
No, I'm
you
going.
You can leave early. You can go.
Why would I do that?
So you can see him and, like, I don't know.
And what? What am I going to do?
Give him sloppy air kisses from afar.
Yeah, you do need a cold shower, dude.
Seriously.
First of all, it was a Jet reference. It was Revis.
I know, but it's because you're thinking of DeGrom.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm mistakenly saying DeGrom's name. I'm mistakenly saying Revis's name. Doesn't that make it a little bit better?
I think it just shows you've thought about DeGrom all day from all different angles.
Well, no, it's... I love Darrell Revis, and I know that some Jet fans didn't love him because he was strictly about money and business and bottom line. And remember when they decided to trade him, they traded him because of injury concerns. He was coming off a major injury, and he's going to want a lot of money. It's kind of why the Mets decided to move on from Jacob DeGrom. So this isn't actually as much about DeGrom as you think. It's more about my bitterness that the Jets decided to trade Darrell Revis and allow him a year later after the trade to sign with the freaking New England Patriots and win a Super Bowl. And so
That's not his fault. It just is, it's not opportunity.
I didn't say it's Revis' fault. I didn't say it's DeGrom's fault.
Right.
I'm saying it's the franchise I root for's fault that they allow two of the greatest players to ever play. Because honestly, name me a cornerback over a period of time that was on the level of Darrell Revis. Deion didn't tackle.
Yeah.
I'm being real here.
Charles
he was
Woodson.
Elite.
Yeah, Woodson probably is the closest.
Closest. Same thing with Jake. And I know you can name me Clayton Kershaw or whoever else you want to come up with.
CeCe Sabathia. Hall of Famer.
That's embarrassing. Don't make me.
World Series, Hall of Famer.
The numbers aren't close. Stop.
What did CeCe tell us at FanFest about numbers?
Okay. If we're going to be honest with each other, you watch CeCe. You're making me bash this guy, and it has nothing to do with that. CeCe at his best was not close to Jacob DeGrom. Stop it. Stop. Tiki knows I'm right. Doesn't want to say anything.
No,
you know I'm right.
He was just more consistent and available than Jacob DeGrom.
He was. I never said he wasn't. I didn't talk about the whole sample size. I'm talking about at their sheer dominance for a short period of time. Koufax-like. It wasn't close. Did CeCe have a longer, more sustainable career? Absolutely.
CeCe at his best isn't losing a playoff series to the Royals.
What was that?
CeCe at his best is not losing a postseason series to the Royals.
Jake had one bad start. What about the starts he made against the Dodgers and the starts he made against the Cubs? It's not close. Top of their game. And by the way, with all seriousness, if you further this, you're going to embarrass yourself. Because I'm not making it more than it is. In that period of time of dominance, DeGrom was better. I didn't take anything away from Sabathia's career in terms of what he accomplished as a whole. In fact, you could argue what CeCe did is more valuable because he did it over a longer period of time. Not arguing that. But in terms of sheer dominance over a period of time, DeGrom was better. And you're insulting me and everyone else by continuing this.
No.
So just let it go.
No, Evan. The Mets are in a free fall. Jacob DeGrom is their biggest enemy tonight. And you're embarrassing yourself and the Met fans by continuing to defend him over a World Series hero and champion here and an ace in New York.
I don't like what he did there, Teague. Mm-hmm. He twisted.
He swerved you.
He twisted it.
He got you.
He made it seem like
it's almost like he set you up from the very beginning.
You know what? I'm tapping out of this argument.
Good move.
I know I'm right. And I can go to sleep at night knowing I'm right.
Yes, you don't need to win all your battles.
That's right. That's what I'm learning in life. Take your wins even before someone declares it and just move on. Yeah. I've learned that specifically about Sean and Tommy because they don't give up on things. So it's just, all right, I know I'm right, I'm going to move on.
Well, hold on a second. You got some nerve. Look who's talking. There's a reason we're like that.
I take my L's all the time.
No.
Tell him.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Thank you. I was about to acknowledge it.
And I'll compliment Evan.
Thank you.
I think Evan is the best sports debater in the history of the station.
No, but that's not
so
my argument.
So we take a challenge to it.
I take L's when I deserve one, I will take one. Tiki, back me up. Mm-hmm. You don't have to argue with me about this because I've already got Tiki saying I'm right.
Yes.
I will take my L's better than anybody. I take it all the time. You two never take L's. We have to, like, force feed it.
That's not true. All
right. Okay.
I painted myself, or actually, Tiki's wife painted me in gold head to toe. That was one L. I'm not taking a million, no,
that's,
okay?
That's a good point. Sean lives up to the punishments of
yeah,
the L's.
But it takes like
he
a battle.
He doesn't just put the chain on, which he also did for the first month of our show.
Do you remember how hard we had to push him to do it, though?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I did it.
It was like a battle. Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo coming up. We'll make our NFL picks coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as Yankees, Red Sox.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.